the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I am Ryan Kennedy, and like Eric Carmen, I am all by myself this week. Ken Campbell is at the Stanley Cup. Edward Fraser and Matt Larkin are editing the most recent edition of the Hockey News magazine, which should be on newsstands right after the Cup is won. So we're doing something special this week. I was at the Draft Combine in Buffalo, and I spoke with a bunch of people. I spoke with some players, spoke with some NHL execs about the event and about those players. So this is the Draft Combine Interview Special Edition. We're going to kick things off with defenseman Jordan Harris from Kimball Union Academy. He's a Northeastern University commit, a new school D-man, moves the puck real well, very smart, just needs to get a little more involved physically, but that will come with time. In draft preview, we had him ranked 72nd overall. Here's Jordan Harris. I'm here with Jordan Harris from Kimball Union Academy, and we're here at the Draft Combine in Buffalo. First off, Jordan, how have you found the week?
It's been a lot of fun. Meeting with all the guys and players that I've grown up playing against. It's definitely really exciting, yeah.
Now, everybody always talks about the interview process. Were there any questions that stumped you this week or that you thought were kind of out of left field?
Nothing too prying that I got. I'd say one was what I don't like about hockey. That was kind of different, yeah. Yeah, it was weird, yeah.
And did you have an answer for that eventually?
My original answer was no. All aspects of hockey, I enjoy. I'd say losing, if there would be one. Yeah, it's definitely one of them.
Good thing you didn't say, like, skating, right?
I know, right? I know, exactly.
Yeah. And you've already done the physical testing. How much did you prepare for the actual physical testing?
Yeah, a good amount, definitely. Try to work in some of the stuff that I knew would be here in my workouts and try to new things that I haven't done. Yeah.
Now, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the prep school experience, being at Kimball Union, just what the atmosphere is like and how it helped your development this year.
I really enjoyed my time at prep school. I thought it was great, especially under our coach Whitehead. I definitely thought that him being there would help my development. You definitely get a lot of the support from the community. Definitely, other students come out to games, so it's really special kind of playing for your school and representing it, yeah.
Now, you also got in some USHL games this year. Was that kind of a nice sneak peek about what the next level will look like?
It was, definitely. A lot faster pace in prep school, a lot higher skill, so it was definitely really important to play those games, for sure. I thought I learned a lot throughout my time there. It was definitely really helpful, yeah.
And you're committed to Northeastern. What was it about that program that enticed you?
The playing style for sure. They like the D to get up to the rush, which kind of suits my game. Being a Boston school, kind of growing up close to there was really important. You grow up watching those teams every year. The overall feeling I got from the coaches and what the goals that they have for their team, for the next few years, was definitely something I found it was really important, yeah.
Did you have a chance to watch the Beanpot this year?
We couldn't, actually. We were going to go down for the finals, but our game got rescheduled to that night, yeah.
But a pretty big moment for Northeastern.
For sure, a huge moment, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And from now until the actual draft in Dallas, what are your plans?
Yeah, so I'll be heading home, jumping on the ice as soon as possible, just kind of get into my summer program, start working. Just kind of get into the summer routine, yeah.
And what are your goals for this summer? What do you want to get better at?
The usual bigger, stronger, faster, for sure. I'd have to say kind of work on my offensive game, just like reading and being more consistent there. And just little things in my game, yeah.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, next on the docket, we have Kalen Addison from the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Like Jordan, Kalen is a new school defenseman. Doesn't have a ton of size, but the offensive capabilities are very nice. Needs to work on his play in his own end, but has a very good temperament for that. So if he can put that all together, some team is going to have a very nice asset there. In draft preview, we had Kalen ranked 45th overall. So here's my chat with Kalen Addison. I'm here with Kalen Addison from the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Kalen, to begin with, how'd you feel about Draft Combine Week?
It's really cool. I mean, you meet so many high-end people and, you know, big names from around the hockey world, and, you know, you're saying hi to someone new every 10 seconds. So, you know, it's a fascinating week, and, you know, you learn so many new things. And like I said, I think you mature a lot, too, just from talking to so many people. But it's a long, tiring week, and, you know, it's worth it in the end. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so...
How did you feel about the interview process?
It's good. I mean, a lot of the questions are similar, and, you know, just like I said, just talking to so many people, and, you know, there's a lot of repeated questions, but, you know, they all want to kind of know the same things about you, and so they're going to ask, and it's all separate interviews, so, I mean, it's a lot of the similar questions, like I said before. It's just cool.
Were there any teams that offered critiques of your game in the interviews?
A lot of times you just talk about, you know, the weaknesses of my game and what I need to work on, and that'd be my play away from the puck. You know, being the size of guy I am and, you know, the style of game I play, I know I got to be better away from the puck to play at the next level. So, you know, we kind of just talk about that and, you know, different things I can add into my game to make that better.
Were there any questions in particular that might have thrown you a bit?
It's got to be the Fortnite question. Lots of guys got asked about Fortnite, so I'm not a huge... I don't play it too much. I play it the odd time, but I'm not addicted to it or anything.
Fair enough. And going back to Lethbridge, how did you feel about how the season went for the Hurricanes?
I thought it was really good. I mean, you know, my first season in the league, we traded a bunch of guys, and then this year again we did. So it's a lot of new faces around the rink, and but I think, you know, we went with a younger, more positive group, and I think that's what paid off in the end, was just the positivity and, you know, not dwelling on losses in the playoffs and that sort of thing. So our future's bright there, and I'm excited.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Finally, when it comes to players, here's my talk with Matei Pekar, who played in the USHL for the Muskegon Lumberjacks this season. He is a Miami University commit. Best motor in the USHL is what one scout told me. Hunts pucks, gets his points, works really hard, and he's a center. In draft preview, we had him ranked 64th. I'll be very intrigued to see how high he goes because of that that great skating and engine he has. And here's Matei. I'm here with Matei Pekar from the Muskegon Lumberjacks. And Matei, just first, if you could talk about your season in Muskegon and what it meant for your development.
Well, I personally loved it. It went way better than I honestly expected. I didn't know I was gonna have such a role like I had that year with on the team. And like I said, I simply loved it and enjoyed every single minute there.
It seems like Muskegon plays kind of a fun style of hockey, a lot of action. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, I think we're kind of that team that like just like loves to entertain the fans, so like whatever it takes. I know our team just love to score a lot of goals and also love to fight. So like we love to throw some big bodies and just all the good chirping. You know, sometimes the old school hockey just came into place and. I think it was really fun to play on that team.
That's awesome. Now, I feel like we're finding now more and more Europeans committing to NCAA schools, and you, of course, are heading to Miami. What made you want to go that route and to join the Redhawks?
Well, let's be honest here. Like, I'm not the stud here. I'm not the media guy here that just, like, you know, cameras from the face all day long. I'm not that guy, so I think I'm gonna need like one or two more years to find my full potential to fully develop hockey wise, and that's kind of why I chose the school way. And obviously, if something would happen, like hurt, you know, injury, something, I at least would get the education could still be doing something else that I would like, possibly.
And how would you describe the hockey in North America versus the hockey back home in the Czech Republic?
I think it's way more fun. I think faster, more physical. I think the guys are quite more going to. It's not sometimes it's maybe it's not as skilled some games, but obviously it's more sometimes like everyone like works really hard. Nobody gives up on the puck, and just simply it's like the typical American hockey, like everything to the net, nothing too pretty, you know, just like the hockey that's gonna win you the games.
Now we're at the draft combine in Buffalo. How did you feel about the interview process with the teams this week?
I loved it. I didn't have any problems. I thought I had a good interview. So now I'm just gonna hope that some teams will call my name in Dallas in 20 days or something. Yeah.
There you go. Were there any questions that you were like, whoa, I didn't think you were going to ask that?
Oh, you heard about that too, I assume.
I actually didn't, but now I'm curious.
Yeah, there was one team that just, I was being called, I'm a party guy, that I love to spend times with girls too much, that I'm going to get in trouble and stuff, which I just kept playing that it's not true. Like, I'm the guy who did not go to a party for like three and a half years, so I don't know. Maybe it was like a method of seeing me how I'm gonna react. I don't know, because I've never been like in an interview like that. But we'll see. I guess we'll find out in Detroit if I responded.
Yeah, there you go.
Response or not? I don't know.
Yeah. And how many teams did you interview with?
13.
Right on. With the physical testing, how did you feel about the process? I know a lot of players, it's kind of been something we watch in years where they end up throwing up after some of the exercises. How did you feel after the whole process?
Well, I felt really good, honestly. Like, obviously it's a physical test, so like you said, they might be throwing up, but they're really good on the ice. It just might show you these tests, like if you're ready right now or not, and also it might show you like if you still have a potential of developing, or you just not the hardworking guy, but you're just like the guy with the super a lot of talent. But like in 5 years, you know, everything's gonna get even, and sometimes the guys that might not be as strong as the better guys here, they might catch them up in a couple of years, and I'll show them in the NHL maybe.
Cool. And finally, if there was an NHL player that you'd like to model your game after, who would it be?
It'd be either Andre Pilat from Tampa or Marchand. Kind of a two-way forwards, sometimes getting dirty, you know. Love to do the dirty work in the corners. Love to finding my teammates and the good scoring opportunities. Just kind of like the dirty and skilled guy combined. I mean, yeah, combined, yeah, dirty and skilled.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Moving on to the executive portion of our podcast. First up is Bill Armstrong, Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues, a team that has done some very nice work in the draft in recent times. I thought they had an incredibly strong first round in 2017, grabbing not only Robert Thomas, who's looking like he could be in the NHL next year, but also Klim Kostin with that final pick in the first round. So very exciting times for St. Louis. And here's Bill Armstrong talking about the combine, but also just what it's like to be on the road as an NHL exec. I'm here with Bill Armstrong, Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues. And Bill, the draft combine, a whole week worth of information. For you, what are the most important facets of this week?
Well, it's really gathering information. I mean, talking about the interviews and all this stuff, you're just really gathering as much information you can so you can make an accurate decision upon what players will be in your area when you're picking.
And as for the physical testing, there's always been the question, why don't they go on ice? And, you know, the one reason being some of these kids haven't played in a couple of months. Some were just at the Memorial Cup last year. Would you like to see on ice, or do you feel like you've seen these kids enough?
I would. I mean, I think, it, you know, any time you can get some more accurate information, because skating is, and, you know, and some of the other stuff that they could do there is it is what it is. It's something that you'd like to see right before your eyes, and I'm sure they've always, you know, increased the, you know, the testing has always become better, so I'm sure at some point in time you're going to see, whether it's 10 years down the road, you're going to see some form of on ice. The kids are on the ice pretty much all year long nowadays, so they don't get too out of shape. So I think it will happen at some point. What they've done now is they've added some, I think, some more accurate testing methods with the kids, and they've really taken input from the NHL teams of what they want to see. So the combine gets better every year.
So would it be fair to say that some of the jump stations and things like that, where maybe you can apply those to explosiveness and lower body strength, are those some of the tests that might be a little more telling than others?
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure. There's I think that's one of the biggest things, is that every NHL team keys on certain tests which they believe in. And your strength trainers, you know, there's a line of strength trainers from every team here. They're all watching that. So everybody's dialed into the certain tests that they believe in that can, you know, give them the advantage of picking the right player. And that's what it's really about. You know, and everybody comes from different backgrounds, you know, from coaching and playing like myself to now scouting. You have a little bit different outlook on the testing, and you try to provide some form of input to making sure we're getting the right, you know, we're focusing on the right things, because there's a whole lot of numbers and some of them don't mean anything.
Right. When it comes to an actual draft list, and I'm just talking ballpark here, for a team, how many players would be on a final list?
It varies. You know, everybody does it different. You know, that's a good question. You know, some teams that probably max out about 200 players. Some teams that keep it tight are probably around 100. So it really depends on how the organization thinks and how they structure the way that they draft off the list.
Now, I know some teams will interview the highest high-end players, even though they're picking like 24th. They just want to sort of see what the kid's like. How focused are you when it comes to the interviews and your attention dependent on draft slot, especially in a year where, you know, you're not obviously picking in the top 10, say?
Yeah, I think you try and be thorough. I think most NHL clubs are really thorough about, you know, even though they're picking in a certain area, they'll expand it, that area, just to make sure they have a good grasp. If someone does come into their area that they weren't expecting, they kind of have a good understanding of who that player is, not only on the ice, but also off the ice. It's, you know, your draft picks are so important, especially the top-end ones. You know, most teams do a pretty thorough job of looking outside their area, and that's why you see some of the top four guys would be interviewed by teams that are picking in the 20s.
Is it fair to say that that research last year helped you guys with Klim Kostin, who dropped to you very fortuitously?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, there's you never know what's coming down the pipe, you know, and somebody might slide. You better have, you know, some confidence in your, you know, in your research, because you know, there's a lot of teams probably that panic sometimes when guys get and they pass, and then that goes to the next guy, and it does happen where, you know, the player is supposed to go in this certain area, and as soon as he gets out of that certain area, he starts sliding because nobody's prepared for him. So you definitely want to make sure that you're prepared, you know, and you know the draft inside and out. And that way, if it does happen and a player is sliding, you're confident in what you know about him, and you're willing to make that pick.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about just the scouting life for a second, because I know there's a lot of people that, you know, want to work in the hockey industry. But I'm just curious, how much travel do you think you do in any given season?
I'm usually about 264 days a year on the road. So it's not a life. I do agree with what you said. There's a lot of people that you run into when you're on an airplane. They're like, you have the greatest job. You get to watch hockey for a living. No, we analyze hockey players for a living, and that's the difference. There's reports to do. You know, there's a ton of travel to book, and not only do you got to do the travel, and the travel's like running a marathon. If you didn't, you know, train for it, you'd be exhausted. We're like animals on the road, where we just, you know, we learn to, you know, kind of adapt and work through it. And you know, the years go by pretty quickly. But at the same time, they're exciting, especially when you get a chance to make a difference for your organization by picking a top player.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great stuff there from Bill. And if you ever think you travel too much for work, try being an NHL scout or an NHL director of amateur scouting, because sounds like there is a lot of Marriott points available to them, a lot of stops at Bob's Big Boy and places like that. Well, they probably eat at nicer places than I do, but you get the picture. Up next, Doug Wilson, longtime GM of the San Jose Sharks, a team that has made some very nice value picks over the years. You think about, Joe Pavelski, getting him in the late rounds, and even some of their first-rounders. Thomas Hertl, you look at what he's turning into, and, they got him outside the top 10, so good work for the Sharks there. Here's Doug Wilson talking about the Combine. I'm here with Doug Wilson of the San Jose Sharks, and Doug, we're here at the Draft Combine. Just kind of curious, the Sharks during your tenure typically don't pick very high, so I wonder what an event like this means when you're really trying to hammer out who are some of the kids that might be available when you're picking later in the first round.
Well, there's a couple things. We bring all our scouts here, and we have our scouting meetings here through Monday, because it's not only about acquiring kids that you draft in this upcoming draft, but getting to know kids that, who knows, could be available in future years. So any opportunity to gather as much information as possible and get to know the kids on a personal level and their background and their character is really important.
Now, would it be fair to say then that you have a pretty big list of kids that you keep an eye out on for the draft? I know that a particular team's list can be anywhere from 200 kids down to maybe even 80 kids.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're drafting 21st in the draft this year. I think our average draft position since I've been doing this since 03 is probably in the mid-20s. But as you say, we want to know as much as we can. We value every pick. Our captain, Joe Pavelski, was a 7th-round pick. Players like Justin Braun, important players. So, where a kid is today and where they are in 2 to 3 or 4 years, you want to monitor that progress. But this, at this age, is a time to acquire a lot of, foundational information on them. So that's what we're doing.
I find that when it gets to the latter half of the first round, you could have a player that seems to be like a pretty safe looking prospect, and then you have players that are still pretty raw that have a lot of upside. Do you have a preference, or does it really come down to a particular scenario where whoever's on the board, you see a particular fit?
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, obviously the risk reward. I mean, guys that are untrained or maybe don't have as much coaching or have come from an injury situation, there is a risk there. There's a high-end return sometimes. So, we're looking for difference makers. We've had a pretty good history of drafting, some very good players and real good players that were solid in all three zones. We've gone out and acquired players in trade, whether it be Brent Burns or Joe Thornton or Martin Jones or Danny Boyle, that, were difference makers. It's usually easier to get difference makers if you're drafting the top five. So part of it is our draft position that, your choices as you get later in the first round, you got to factor in that risk-reward and how many picks you have, for example. I mean, we've got, 6 picks this year, but we'll sign some college or European free agents and add basically 10 or 11 players every year, irregardless of the number of picks that we have. So it's that's our approach.
Now, with the Combine itself, even the events are evolving and technology makes things more accurate. What are some of the events that you think are the most telling for you, the ones that may represent hockey skills better than some of the other ones?
I'll leave that up to our strength people. we try to keep that in-house. I mean, taking away individual tests or grading which ones we value to be the most important, you're looking for the compete factor. You've got some guys that are trained specifically for these tests. You've got other guys that are untrained, but you can tell if somebody's pushing through, irregardless of their results, their fortitude, which to me reveals some of their character.
And for the interview process, I know a lot of it is just getting to know the players, but do you have a particular tack that that you like to take with San Jose? I know, you know, some teams can be kind of aggressive in their interviews, other ones are very laid back. What do you try to accomplish?
We have, you know, an extensive staff. Different people have different personalities. Trying to get as much information, or even get you know, a person either open up or be uncomfortable, depending on the makeup of their personality. But I think just spending time with somebody, you know, the greatest gift and most valuable thing you can do is spend time. And if you can get a little extra time with them and get them comfortable, and they might share things in their lives, adversity they've had to push through, or things like that. But not limited solely to the draft interviews. Any time you get an opportunity to gather information on these young men, it's important.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you.
And finally, on our executive side, we have John Chyka, GM of the Arizona Coyotes. He's been at the job for a couple of years now, working on that rebuild, stocking the cupboards. You know, I thought Pierre-Olivier Joseph was a very astute pick last year, and now they got a pretty high pick this year as well to add to that cabinet. You know, you look at the Tucson Roadrunners in the AHL, they did pretty well this year. You had Dylan Strome, Lawson Crouse, and Nick Merkley doing big things, and those players are all in their early 20s, so good sign for the Coyotes. If they can put it all together at the NHL level, that will obviously be the next step. Here's my conversation with John. So, John, to begin with, you know, we're here at the Draft Combine, and yep. The event itself is evolving. How do you feel about the different events that they have right now, and how they can sort of quantify what some of these players are capable of?
Yeah, obviously hockey is a difficult sport to quantify. You know, you're on ice, you're on skates, very dynamic game. So I don't think we're necessarily trying to quantify performance or correlate or predict future performance. It's more about, you know, watching the players, you know, projecting frames and seeing how they move, things of that nature. But you know, they've added some new tests that I think are more indicative of players' performance. And you know, we did the bike test ourselves at our camp, did the 45-second with the spurts, and you know, it's just good information for development purposes, and allows us to kind of understand a player's body and what they need moving forward, and that's how we view it.
When it comes to the interview process, do you have a particular philosophy in terms of how many kids you want to talk to in a given year, and what you want to get out of that?
Yeah, I guess my view of it is every pick, the first pick, seventh pick, you're making multi-million-dollar decisions, in the sense of, you know, the cost or the value of hitting on those players is tremendous. So, you know, for yeah, the purposes of being able to tell my owner, we've done everything we can to ensure that we're getting as much information on these players. You know, we go through as many players as we can. So this year we did 85. It's difficult, but there's no better way to get more information. And you know, it's an interview process. So I really enjoy it. We watch them play all year. You get a chance to meet them in person and you know, talk to them about their game, get to know them a little bit better. That's my philosophy.
When it comes to the final meetings that you have with all your scouts, and obviously I'm not going to ask for specifics here. I know that's all trade secrets, but what's that process like? Is it one where there's a lot of questions asked to the regional guys? How do you sort of like format that so that you get the best information you think you need?
Yeah, I think we just view it as a year-long process. I mean, it starts in training camp where we're grouping guys, we're getting the areas down to, you know, the guys that we want to kind of focus on, guys that we think are important, guys that we think, you know, might play themselves into that discussion. So, you know, throughout the year we're having lots of conference calls, lots of discussions, guys are crossing over at times to double and triple check. You know, I'm out on the road too, so you know, when it gets down to it, you're just, you know, using all the information available to yourself to try to make the best decision possible. So you know, whether that is some combine information, you know, statistical analysis, you know, our scouts and their notes and their background and character and what coaches and teammates and, you know, billets think of their players, then, you know, it all goes into making the best decision possible.
When it comes to your first-round draft slot, you've had late first-round picks, you've had very early first-round picks. Obviously, we know a lot more about the high-end kids, but is there a difference in picking later versus sooner in terms of the domino effect of kids that aren't there that you know, that, like, they were already picked that were on your list, or is it just a matter of you've got your list and that's your list?
You know, I think we've got our list, and you know, the way we do it is we get the players that we feel confident in are good fits for our organization and people that we believe in. And you know, ultimately, our scouts do a job, and it's their job to feel confident that they're gonna, you know, get players for our organization long term. So you know, we like to be disciplined. We don't want to get caught up in the emotions of making a decision on the floor or anything like that, but at the same time, you know, you have the picks you have to start, and then, you know, things happen. You can trade up, you can trade down. There's other opportunities that arise, and you want to be, you know, have structure, but you want to have flexibility too, and that's the way we view it.
Finally, you had one of the most exciting lines in the AHL this year with Dylan Strome, Lawson Krause, and Nick Merkley.
Yeah.
How nice is it to see them succeed at the pro level?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, that's a big part of what we're doing. Our Tucson team had a great run this year. They've all played well. I think every single young player got significantly better, and as a result, our head coach is now, you know, coaching the National Hockey League. So, you know, across the board, that the whole group and a big part of our organization developed, and pretty proud of it, and happy that you know, it's a big step for our organization, and one of many to come.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Many thanks to all my interviewees on this special podcast. I would say just, you know, some closing thoughts about the Combine, and I blogged about this on the website as well. It's definitely an event that continues to evolve, and I think at this point, you know, it's certainly TV friendly, and that's something that they have done over the years. It used to be in a ballroom at a hotel by the Toronto airport. Now, obviously, at Harbor Center, the arena next to where the Sabres play in Buffalo. Beautiful new facility, very nicely laid out for all the exercises. But, you know, everybody's talking about that on-ice portion, if they're going to do that. And, you know, there is the problem. Some players haven't been playing for months. Some just finished up with playoffs and Memorial Cup and things like that. But I just have a feeling that in the coming years, you're going to want to see these kids do, you know, a hot lap around the rink, see who can be fastest in their draft class, kind of like the 40-yard dash in the NFL, how that's become such a big thing. Maybe there's a hardest shot competition. You know, maybe there's something for goalies on ice that reflects their agility. I think, you know, the way things are evolving and how important it is to get good data on these kids when you don't have that great a sample size. You're only talking about, you know, 2-3 years of junior hockey or whatever circuit they're on. It just seems like we haven't seen the last of the draft combine. I think it's going to continue to change as time goes on, and that's a good thing. And I think teams would be very excited about that. I definitely think fans would be excited about it too. For now, we see the results. You make a mental checklist of who did well. But I will say that even some of the top physical performers don't end up being great NHLers. Some of the kids that swoon at the combine end up being Calder Trophy favorites. So it's a kind of a hit and miss thing. It's always fun to go down there and talk to people. It's an exciting week for the kids, especially, you know, with the interviews where they get to sit in with all these NHL execs. You know, a lot of them are former players. So fun times there. Buffalo, always a great city to host these events. In the coming weeks, the draft is upon us. Heading to Dallas. It's going to be good times. I'm going to get myself some barbecue. I'll probably get myself too much barbecue, but that's how things go. I will be joined at the draft by Ken Campbell, so that's always going to be fun. And for now, thanks for listening. We'll be back with more Prospect Podcasts.